From the Fox News radio studios in Midtown Manhattan, it's the fastest growing radio talk show, Brian Kilmeade.
Puerto Rico, where I'm in my home state of Delaware, they're good, decent, honorable people. The only garbage I see floating out there is just supporters.
That's terrible. Remember Hillary? She said deplorable. Garbage, I think, is worse, right?
He is the person who stood at this very spot nearly 4 years ago and sent an armed mob to the United States Capitol.
I find it interesting that, you know, she's decided to go back to that January 6th moment. What she doesn't want to visit is what's happened since January 6th.
Burdened by the idea that she might lose this election, and so she needs to go back and sort of demonize Donald Trump. Looks like she's searching for a message in these final days.
And there you go. That sets the table for 6 days and counting. 6 days and counting until we have an election day. But so many of you, I think 50 million now, have voted already. I think it's fantastic. I would love election day, maybe a national holiday. But as of currently, outside the ballot harvesting, which I can't tolerate, if it makes it easier to get more people voting, we should do it. What I wish we could do universally is count the votes early, like Florida does. Don't let the results out. Make that a crime. But let's just get it done early, so then when people show up and vote, you already have it halfway tallied or three-quarter tallied or whatever your town does. I mean, places like Oregon, they have mail-in voting, and that's the way it's always going to be. But that's not as looked at as a battleground state anyway. So we have Kamala Harris delivering remarks at the campaign rally in North Carolina. Trump will be in North Carolina, too, over in Rocky Mountain. Then Harris will go to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And then you'll have Trump holding a rally in Green Bay, Wisconsin with Brett Favre, so that'll be important. Tim Walz will be at probably a low-key event in Asheville, North Carolina, and then Harris will finish the day in Wisconsin, too. So the one thing I think is significant, it looks like, and you read into it like you will, I think that on some level, the Harris people, even though they got a ton of money, they are pulling about $4 million worth of ads out of North Carolina. Could that show that they think it's lost? I got indications last night from one expert that that's going to be a Republican state. And Arizona, it now is a likely Republican state. The president's been up by 2.5 points on the aggregate for a while. But to be worried, if you are Donald Trump, I think you have to be worried about the early voting in Pennsylvania. Because the early voting has 58-32 more Democrats showing up, and a lot of women are showing up. This is very much a gender election. Men going for Trump, women going for, not all, of course, for Harris. So if you see the big female rivals, that could be trouble. So here is the controversy, though. So picture this. Kamala Harris has a closing message. I know, 6 days early, what are you doing? But a closing message. And I understand why Trump wanted his closing message Sunday, because the only time he can get the garden, by the way, is on that Sunday. So he asked Dolan, that's the latest he can get it. But for Harris, she could have waited till Thursday or Friday or, I don't know, Saturday or Monday. But her closing message, very negative. At the same time, whipping open his laptop and doing a campaign call is Joe Biden. And, of course, Joe Biden is so angry about a comedian at Madison Square Garden. The comedian who came out and said disparaging record, a disparaging joke about Puerto Rico that says basically it's a floating island of garbage. All right. And there was a joke in there. And he says he vacations there all the time. That, and people that know him say that's his style of humor. Well, they went to town. All Puerto Ricans are angry at Donald Trump for a comedian he never met that was on stage 3 hours before he got there, which is just insane considering these election cycles. Plural over the last three times. Really? His death blow to his reelection is going to be a comedian who he's never met or spoken to? So when Joe Biden gets to his laptop and starts doing this talk back, they asked him about it. And listen to what he said. Cut one.
Puerto Rico, where I'm in my home state of Delaware, they're good, decent, honorable people. The only garbage I see floating out there is just orders. His demonization of things is unconscionable.
Really?
It's un-American.
The only garbage I see is his supporters? Are you insane? Are you a Republican, Democrat, Independent? Oh, if I'm Jill Stein, I don't say that. If I'm a two-time elected president, a lame duck, I wouldn't say that because I don't think that. I don't think people that don't vote for me are garbage. So Joe Biden, did he misspeak? Not really. I don't see any major apology. The guy is so angry that he's not being used, so angry that he's not the nominee, so angry that he's not at that event in the Ellipse. You have one little thing trigger him, and he says things that are out of control. Just to quote, just the other day, a speaker at the rally called Puerto Rico a floating island of garbage. The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters. Wow. So how do they walk it back? In a desperate attempt to clean up the president's mess, a White House spokesperson issued a damage control statement and added an apostrophe to the word supporters to imply that Biden was only referring to one person, comedian Tony Hinchcliffe, who made a joke about Puerto Rico. But his gaffe sparked immediate fury among MAGA supporters. Word gets to Marco Rubio while he's on stage in Pennsylvania, and he says, you know what, I'm just going to say it. I'm outraged. Same thing about deplorables. If you follow Donald Trump, you're deplorable, right? Cut four.
I wasn't going to say anything, but I have breaking news for you, Mr. President. You may not have heard this. Just moments ago, Joe Biden stated that our supporters are garbage. Are garbage. He's talking about the Border Patrol. He's talking about nurses. He's talking about teachers. He's talking about everyday Americans who love their country and want to dream big again and support you, Mr. President. And I hope their campaign is about to apologize for what Joe Biden just said. We are not garbage. We are patriots who love America. And thank you for running, Mr. President.
Marco Rubio, man, he's good on his feet. Obviously, he handled it. It was literally breaking news that got to them. By the way, why is he even speaking while the vice president is trying to sum up why she's running and what she's done? I mean, why would you do anything to distract? This is the second time he's done this. I mean, is he really that unhinged? I mean, really that separate? Is he that angry? He's a rageaholic. Trump came up and kind of jumped on it. Cut three.
That's terrible. That's what it says. That's what it says. So you have, remember Hillary? She said deplorable. And then she said irredeemable, right? But she said deplorable. That didn't work out. Garbage, I think, is worse, right? But he doesn't know. You have to please forgive him. Please forgive him. For he not knoweth what he said.
I think he does. I think the sentiment's there. I mean, he's angry. He's angry at Trump. He hates Trump. He really is angry at Barack Obama, really angry at Nancy Pelosi, really angry at George Clooney, really angry at the staff that left him and is now working for Harris, hoping to get hired by Harris, really angry at Netanyahu. Who is he not angry at? Should be angry at Hunter. So just to go show you the extreme. So I wrote down some of the themes that she brought up in my closing message. Look, you and I probably are never going to run for president. But you have a sense that if you were to sum up why you're going to get that job, big or smaller than president of the United States, you have a sense of why you should do it. Her make message is, you should hire me because I am not Donald Trump. My problem is there's no positive summation of what she's running, what she's doing, and what she would do. She brings up January 6th. She said freedom's on the line. He has an enemies list, and you might be on it. He's out for revenge. He's going to breed fear and hatred in America and give tax breaks to his billionaire buddies. She says she'll always tell the truth and does make mistakes, but she'll admit to it. First off, nobody thinks you're telling the truth about decriminalizing border crossings, fracking, oil and gas, not having mandates when it comes to EVs. Nobody thinks that you're going to crack down on the border because you haven't done it. And don't tell me about a 2014 transnational gang that somebody else tried in front of you in your office. So that's just it. So I looked at that. That's no soaring speech. And she knows how to read a prompter. Good luck with that. That's your closing statement. Now, I don't know who's going to win. I know where the momentum is. And they're trying to vilify both sides. But would you go in after Trump about a comedian that was on 3 hours before he took the stage? Joe Biden is the current president who gave the vice president the break of her life after a failed candidacy. He boxed himself in by saying, I'll pick a woman of color. It was basically down to Kamala Harris and Val Demings, and went with Kamala Harris. Or Karen Bass, who's now mayor of Los Angeles. Could have probably made a better choice. So everybody's a fascist, everybody's Hitler, because you're a terrible candidate. Because you're not good on your feet. You're not good in an interview session. You're not good when you're challenged. You're not good on policy. What she is intelligent, can read a prompter. I have no problem. I don't go around telling people they're not smart or aren't smart. I'm no judge. You know, we know people who are brilliant, and then there's the rest of us. So when Eric Adams is asked about this, the mayor of New York, this is kind of interesting. He's asked, you know, what about that garden? Why did you let him have that? That rally at the garden, isn't it like the Nazis at the garden? And he's trying to figure out what's going on in New York City. He's got his own issues. But listen to this exchange. I thought you should hear it. Cut 10.
And with all that's going on to everyday New Yorkers, we're asking questions that is someone a fascist or is someone a Hitler. That's insulting to me. That is insulting. And I'm not going to engage in that. Everyone needs to turn down the rhetoric. Because after Election Day, we still have to be the United States and not the divided states. And so if people can't understand their real issues facing New Yorkers, and I just find it just humiliating that what everyday mom and pops are doing and going through across this country, that here we are having this conversation about this silly item.
Right. Look, I know... Trump has come out and said, oh, she's a fascist, she's a Marxist. He looked at her dad, who is a Marxist professor, and he's doing that and looking at some of her policies and coming to that conclusion. I could do without that, too. But not that the aggressive way they're coming at Trump is a lot different. And we've already made our opinions. I got news for you, and you're going to hear from Nikki Haley when we get back. Everyone's made their opinion on January 6th. We do not need that in a speech. We do not need President Trump to come out and say, I'm going to exonerate everyone in prison. You want to make sure that the right people are in jail that attack cops? Okay. Did they overcharge? Absolutely. But I don't think even President Trump bringing it up, I think Kamala Harris bringing it up, doing it from the lips, is bad. We got it. We understand it enough. We have made our own opinions. There are people that are never going to vote for Trump because of it. And there are people that are going to vote for Trump because of it, because they feel people are overcharged and they went over the top. 1-866-408-7669. A lot going on. I didn't even bring up Israel yet, but we had General Keane yesterday tell us what Jennifer Griffin reported last night about what they did with just hitting 20 targets inside Iran. Pretty awesome. You'll listen to the Brian Kilmeade Show. Don't move.
Hear the ins and outs of the 2024 election right here. The Brian Kilmeade Show.
This is Jimmy Failla, inviting you to join me for Fox Across America, where we'll discuss every single one of the Democrats' dumb ideas. Just kidding. It's only a 3-hour show. Listen live at noon Eastern or get the podcast at foxacrossamerica.com.
A radio show like no other. It's Brian Kilmeade.
We know who Donald Trump is. He is the person who stood at this very spot nearly 4 years ago and sent an armed mob to the United States Capitol to overturn the will of the people in a free and fair election.
And the crowd roars. I didn't even know about January 2nd. It totally slipped my mind. So I thought Governor Haley had a great response last night. She has not talked to President Trump since June. She'll be with Dave McCormick today, who wants to be the senator from Pennsylvania, taking on Senator Casey. But her response was right on the money.
I find it interesting that, you know, she's decided to go back to that January 6th moment. You know, a lot of Americans have decided where they are on January 6th. I personally have said it was a terrible day. We should never revisit it again. But while she wants to go back to January 6th, what she doesn't want to visit is what's happened since January 6th, because we've had 4 years of record inflation. We've had unconscionable amounts of illegal immigrants, 500,000 criminal illegals alone coming across that border. You look at the fact that Afghanistan fell under their Bear Watch, unleashing this world war that we're all now having to deal with. And that's the 4 years she doesn't want to talk about.
Yeah, that was so on the money. Yeah, January 6th, we already know where we stand. Does anyone think it's good? Nobody thinks it's good. Clear thinking that isn't defensive about it. You know, Steve Bannon's out, probably thinks it's a great thing. I don't. Nikki Haley doesn't. So what? That she ran, maybe thought President Trump was vulnerable. So what? It got personal, went back and forth, joined the club. Bush 41 went at it hard with Bob Dole. They end up being fast friends. Gerald Ford and Jimmy Carter said horrible things about each other. They end up being best friends for the next 50 years of their life. Nikki Haley, there's some bitterness there still with the president, but she definitely wants Trump to win. And I thought she was a real asset the first time around. So I think that the former president should be calling her up right now to help out and make sure none of those people that supported Nikki Haley feel comfortable flipping sides. I think that's important, don't you? But in terms of what the actual election thing is happening, North Carolina and Arizona, the Republicans feel and the Trump team feel as though they don't want to say it, but they feel like they got it. So the question is Georgia. You feel really good about Georgia, but they can't say it's theirs yet. Feel good about it. Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, Nevada. That's who would end up. So there's a lot yet to be won. Trump is going to run through the tape, and he says he's going to be a lot more positive. But he also can't believe how negative some people have been. In fact, Trump brought this up, and I brought it up to him in our interview last week, too. Michelle Obama's been trying to really pound him. And that struck Trump. Here's what he said. Cut six.
By the way, Michelle Obama was very nasty to me. Ooh. Oh, she was nasty. I've gone out of my way to be nice to Michelle. Never said a bad thing about her when other people didn't like her so much. And she hit me the other day because they're desperate. They don't want Trump back because we're going to turn this country around and show how bad they were and how incompetent they were. But she hit me. Now, the fake news doesn't care about that. But if I hit her, they'll say, oh, what a horrible thing it was.
It's true. And so is Barack Obama's been especially brutal. But and then Bill Clinton has not been brutal, but he's been all over the place. You know, complimenting how attractive Kerry Lake is, saying Robin Morin would be alive if there were better screenings at the border. Exactly with the message that Donald Trump's been saying. But it's really personal. And I just want you to say this. If you don't like Donald Trump's approach to things because it's too personal, please look at what the Democrats are doing at him. And it's pretty much at him. I mean, whether it's Robert De Niro saying, having an expletive-filled address, or you have the former president surrogates, they're going at Trump personally. And they're saying, Barack Obama's saying, it's my economy that he took. Really? Your economy? I've never heard that, because with the tax reform in 2018, with the spending and regulation cuts that immediately took place, I think the economy had a totally different feel when Trump was there, much friendlier to business, only because of regulations. You listen to the Brian Kilmeade Show. Rich Lowry next. We'll delve into some of what he had to say and write about, but also end with your calls this hour, so don't move.
The more you listen, the more you'll know. It's Brian Kilmeade.
This is what voters know right now, that he is killing us. I'm talking about us women. He's killing us. He is putting us at risk. He is making us afraid to have babies. He is putting our reproductive health at risk. And some women have died already because of this. So we can see right now what's coming.
Because with women's reproductive health care and freedoms hanging in the balance next Tuesday, the stakes literally are life and death for every woman in America. It's not hyperbole. It's not an exaggeration. It's what happens next week.
And if you think he's kidding,
he's not.
He doesn't care if you live or die, babe. He doesn't care.
That's correct.
If we don't get this election right, your wife, your daughter, your mother, we as women will become collateral damage to your rage.
Right. That's a very uplifting remarks, isn't it? But this is what we've been hearing pretty steadily. If Donald Trump wins, all hell's going to break loose. Very few survivors. Most of us will be in jail. Rich Lowry wrote about this, and I thought his title says it all. No, Donald Trump is not a racist, or excuse me, a fascist. Rich Lowry joins us now, the editor of National Review. Rich.
I'm like, there's going to be a bloodbath, right?
Oh, yeah, bloodbath. Let's take that out of context, too. So, first off, he's not a fascist. You would agree to that.
Oh, it's crazy. It's crazy. He's a Jacksonian. You know, he's firmly in the Andrew Jackson tradition. Now, Andrew Jackson, he didn't care much for guardrails and, you know, really fierce rhetoric and really combative with his enemies. But Trump's a very American phenomenon. He's not a fascist, which has never really been indigenous to our soil. He doesn't want to create an all-consuming state. He doesn't want to aggrandize our country through territorial conquest. None of that. It's absurd. They've worked themselves up into this feverish lather that I think is discrediting or at least it isn't going to get them anything.
So how big a deal is this? Cut one.
Puerto Rico, where I'm in my home state of Delaware, they're good, decent, honorable people. The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters. His demonization is seen as unconscionable, and it's un-American.
So the only floating thing I see out there, the only garbage I see floating out there are his supporters. So what does Joe Biden says that while the vice president's giving her closing remarks on the ellipse? Your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't think it matters hugely. I don't think the comedian matters hugely, but it gets the news cycle off the comedian and onto this gaffe. Now, they claim it was a possessive, so he was talking the only he was talking about garbage, his supporters' garbage rather than his supporters being garbage. You know what I mean?
That's what they put out, apostrophe.
Yeah,
the apostrophe
defense. But obviously, you know, you hear what he says, and every Republican is going to take advantage of it. So the election's about big things. It's about Trump and Harris. It's not about any of this, but it just very tactically in terms of the news cycle, it hurts them and helps Trump.
Well, I'll have to see where this goes. I think, like you said, it's a cycle. But, Rich, you have a comedian that hops on the air 3 hours before, hops on television 3 hours before Donald Trump takes the stage, who Donald Trump has never met. And they go, Donald Trump hates Puerto Ricans. I mean, that's a huge leap.
Oh, it's ridiculous. I mean, no one's going to vote based on what a comedian says. No one's ever voted based on what a comedian says. And the thing is, Trump's speech, I don't need to tell you, it was upbeat. It was on message.
Yes.
I think it was, you know, as good as he gets. And to have it stepped on by this comedian, they never should have given him the mic. And then he shouldn't have abused the mic. You don't do ethnic humor at a political rally a week before the election, especially about blacks and Latinos, when your guy is trying to win those people over. It's just dumb. It was selfish, and the campaign never should have put him in that spot, and he should have been aware of the responsibility he had in that spot. Do that stuff on your podcast or at the club or whatever, but not at a political rally.
Yeah, it's insane. But, you know, we're looking at something now. I mean, it's going to be really tight. People have brought up there's some similarities, some people said, between Carter and Reagan, where they said it was too close to call, but in the last weeks, Reagan pulled it front and basically swept the country, and then he would destroy, destroy Walter Mondale after that. So, but it was close up until the end. And remember, they thought Ronald Reagan was losing. He had to come back and do that great second debate to prove that he was okay. Do you see any similarities to that?
Could be. I mean, that's certainly within the range of possibilities. Trump easily could win the popular vote, narrowly, but win the popular vote and win every single swing state. And it's you know, a smashing over 300 electoral vote victory. But he could lose as well. So it's just very hard to know. If the polls are exactly right, precisely right, he'll win. If they're a little bit wrong, either they're wrong or her turnout operation is good, you know, and there's a point or two swing her way, she wins. So I favor Trump. I favored him all year long. I think he's going to win, but I don't think anyone can say anything with certainty.
By the way, Harris's campaign had ad spending in North Carolina. They placed $2.7 million for the final week. The next day, yesterday, they cut $2 million in ad spending. Even though she's going to it today, I think they see trending away from them in North Carolina. Do you conclude the same thing?
I'm a little surprised. You know, the trending away seems to me to be more like Georgia and Arizona. North Carolina has been a little closer in the polling. But look, Trump lost in 20 and won North Carolina, right? Mitt Romney won North Carolina. So it's a little weird that it's grouped with all the others, but it's close. So I'd be shocked if they're actually giving up on it, but who knows?
So there's another report. The conventional wisdom is Donald Trump always polls rose behind his actual results. He always does better than his polls. Well, yesterday, CNN data reporter Harriet Enten warned on Tuesday that the election polling could be underestimating Vice President Kamala Harris rather than Trump, who has been historically underestimated in the election past. I don't know his theory behind that. I don't know about people shy about voting for the vice president. Said that what normally happens is the pollsters catch on when it comes to Trump after the two times they realize what they did wrong and get him more accurate. But with her, they think there could be a shy Kamala voter.
Yeah, it's hard to know. I think part of that clip, what he was saying is there hasn't been a polling error in someone's direction three times in a row. But how many times has that happened? I mean, we're talking such a small sample size, right? It's a little bit like in baseball, you know, he hits 500 against left-handers in the daytime when it's over 80 degrees and he's 1-for-2, you know? So it's hard to know. It's possible the pollsters have over-adjusted for the mistake they made in 16 and 20. It's possible they're still not reaching the Trump voters they need to get to for an accurate read. So we just can't know. We just can't know.
Right. I want you to bring in some Nikki Haley's had some comments and criticisms on the campaign, on the Trump campaign yesterday. Subtle, not direct. Here's what she said about the rally cut 24.
This is not a time to have anyone criticize Puerto Rico or Latinos. This is not a time for them to get overly masculine with this bromance thing that they've got going. 53% of the electorate are women. Women will vote. They care about how they're being talked to, and they care about the issues. They need to remember that. This is a time of discipline, and this is a time of addition.
Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think he should be campaigning with her. I don't think it makes a huge difference, but I think it'd be a good counter to Liz Cheney. Not that she's moving huge amounts of voters, but we're talking about, you know, real small margins with all these groups. So I think she'd be helpful to Trump, but it looks like that's not going to happen.
Yeah, I guess not. I mean, we only have 4 days left, but she is out with Dave McCormick today. It'd be interesting if they see something that she could do. But evidently, there's reports that her camp was asking for certain things, and then once they thought they were all set, she came back and asked for more things, or her camp did. So they just rubbed the Trump people the wrong way, and they said the hell with it.
Yeah, she didn't play the game from the beginning. I mean, she just when she got out, she just should have endorsed instantly the way Ron DeSantis did instead of dragging it out. But here we are. I mean, I would say, Brian, I don't know what's going to happen. My guess is Trump's going to win, but he's definitely in the strongest position he's ever been in. He's never been as strong in major media polls as he is right now. He's never been as popular as he is right now. He's still a little bit underwater, as they say, but it's much closer, more like a 50-50 proposition. That's never been true. And his coalition is broader. So after all this, all the indictments and the conviction and all the controversies, he's stronger in a general election than he's ever been.
So I love your column. And we've talked about this on the air a few times, where you said the power of woke is fading. And if you look at Kamala Harris's flip-flops, it proves it. If this whole woke thing was so great and such the future, she'd be running on it. The new Green Deal, equality, America's built on borrowed land. 1619 would be the constant refrain. Yep. The 1619 probably would be constant refrain on the stump. You know, there'd be the CHIPS Act and the DEI that's holding back the success of the CHIPS Act. That's never even brought up. So that whole, you know, if you bring up anything about a wall or a barrier or border crossings, Hispanics would be insulted. That's all this stuff is gone. And the fact that she's running from it makes you feel possibly good about the country, right?
Yeah. So she knows that's not saleable to a majority of Americans. That's great. And I also think it's played into what maybe if she loses, we'll look back and say is the big strategic flaw. No distance from Joe Biden. And I think it's in part because she shifted on everything she said in 19 and 20. And then they probably felt, well, she can't shift also on everything she's supported in the last 3 years. Right. That would be too much. So then she doesn't have any distance. And if she loses, I think that'll be a big reason. And, you know, Trump, they they could have taken a shot at any of this stuff, the stuff she said about reparations or equity or any of it. They decided to focus and kind of make the symbol of the whole thing, the one that they think is makes her look most ridiculous, which is that the trans stuff. And that ad, you know, I've seen it 100 times now because I watch a lot of sports. But, again, if she loses, that ad will be the most memorable weapon that was used against her.
So right now we have a war, a battles raging in Gaza, in Lebanon, and we had a strike over the weekend with the IDF hitting using 100 aircraft to hit 20 separate sites. And I thought, okay, this is a minor hit, but there was a method to it, and it was blow up the radar that guided the missiles into their country, 180 of them, blew them up in Iraq, and blew them up in Syria, and then blow up the missile defense. They had four. They killed one last time and wiped out another one this time. Here's Jennifer Griffin, Cut 30.
A senior U.S. official tells Fox the Israeli warplanes took out three of Iran's Russian-made S-300 air defense systems. At the start of the year, Iran only had four S-300 surface-to-air missile systems. Back in April, Israel took out one of the four S-300s in response to Iran's first ballistic missile attack on Israel. Now it seems that those F-35 fighter jets destroyed the other three. Separately, a senior Israeli official confirms, quote, the majority of Iran's air defense was taken out. The Israeli official added, President Biden's advisor for the Middle East, Amos Hochstein, described it on an internal call, saying Iran is essentially naked with no air defenses.
How great is that?
No, it's just brilliant. I mean, the last 3 months brought home just Israel is a serious society that knows what it's doing in fighting its enemies. You know, at times during the Gaza War, you're like, is Hamas just popping right back up? You know, is this really going to make a difference? But they clearly just totally decimated Hamas and destroyed its military leadership. And then what they did with Hezbollah and now this, it's hugely impressive.
I know they're in Doha trying to work something out because got to get those hostages out. So what was in Sinwar's laptop, what was on his body, is giving them additional information. But the one thing is pretty clear. The one group that is getting stronger is the Houthi rebels. They're actually, with the help of Russia, they're now exporting a lot of their fighters. They went from terrorists in sandals to now being a pretty a formidable force. And it's sad for humanity.
Yeah, and that's also a huge part of that. It's on us, right? We allowed this ragtag group to disrupt international shipping, and it's still happening today, and didn't stomp on them right at the outset. It's just shameful.
You're absolutely insane. I'm looking at what's going on too with the criticism of Israel. On top of that, and they're talking about getting the aid in and their cutoff of UNRWA. But if you look at that UN organization, they have people actually participating in the terror attack against them. How would you feel differently? I just wish there would be some aid to get in there, but at the same time, make this UN organization old news.
Yeah, like a non-corrupt, non-terrorist affiliate organization do it. That would be great. That's a good idea, right? But it just goes to just no other country would work through such an organization that's hostile to its very existence. But there's always a double standard for Israel.
Right. They named a new head of Hezbollah. We'll see how long he lasts. He's 71 years old, and I think he was the vice terrorist, and now he's full terrorist.
Whoever's his vice should be working on his resume.
Absolutely. Rich Lowry, thanks so much.
Thanks, Brian.
All right, 1-866-408-7669. I left some time at the other end to get to your calls. There's a lot going on. We're going to really, I mean, why pretend that there's another two, there's number two story? It's a distant number three world events, barring a major attack. We'll go inside the numbers, inside the early voting, inside the tactics, in the sprint to the finish. This could be won or lost over the next 4 days. Don't move.
Diving deep into today's top stories, it's Brian Kilmeade. If you're interested in it, Brian's talking about it. You're with Brian Kilmeade.
And I think that's one of the things that the Trump campaign has going for them is the former president is actually talking about the economy. He's talking about the border. He's talking about how he would do things prospectively in the future for American families, where you've got the current vice president on the ellipse here in the National Mall in Washington, D.C., no longer unburdened by what has been, as she likes to say. but burdened by the idea that she might lose this election, and so she needs to go back and sort of demonize Donald Trump. Again, that's not what voters are saying that they care about, and with prices and open border and all these other things, it looks like she's searching for a message in these final days.
And no doubt about it. And there's so much meanness out there. Right away, you go, you're talking about Donald Trump? Well, Donald Trump puts it in his speeches, but less and less and less, because I think he thinks he's going to win. And I know he wants to bring the country together as a one-term president, even though it'll be a second. I think that the old bets are off on how much he could accomplish, especially if you got guys like Ken Ackman in there, Elon Musk in there, Jamie Dimon coming out lately. And then you got Scott Bessent, who was just here, who'd worked for George Soros and now is doing his own thing for a while when he realized George Soros was out of his mind. There could be real possibility of Donald Trump doing things. And you'd have, if he gets his job, and you have no idea if it's a Republican or Democrat, you just see things getting done. And almost frees people up to go ahead and work across the party lines, and frees Trump to do big things because he's not running again. He doesn't really, just wants to get things done. Was a Democrat, was a Republican, but most of all a business person, just wants to see that they think the building completed, the field done, the job finished. I think he'll go back to those instincts, I think. When you talk about, I want to get to the phones, but I also want to talk about how you talk about mean. Joe Biden was just ripping yesterday because he's been isolated. He's angry, and he knows his legacy is destroyed. Christopher in Texas. Hey, Christopher.
Hey, what's up, Brian? Love this show. Listening for a long time. Hey, I'm a Hispanic Mexican-American out of Texas. I'm going to tell you right now, the comedian, it didn't bother us. What bothered me was hearing our president call me garbage.
Yeah.
And nobody is going to tell us who or how we need to vote, no matter the talking heads of the networks. People don't need to worry. The Hispanic Americans, the Latino Americans, we're voting Trump. He's for our values, traditional values, the economy. Hey, we're there. We're supporting him.
And the work ethic. The Hispanic community's got the work ethic. And they see generational growth, and we're seeing it in real time. Roy, thanks so much. Very valuable affiliate over in Valdosta, Georgia. Was able to go out there, I think, a couple of years ago. My book tour. We'll get to some calls in the future hours. You listen to the Brian Kilmeade Show. Don't forget, I'm going to be with History, Liberty, and Less. My next stop on the stage tour, meet me in Jacksonville on February 15th. BrianKilmeade.com.
From high atop Fox News headquarters in New York City, always seeking solutions, never sowing division. It's Brian Kilmeade.
Puerto Rico, where I'm in my home state of Delaware, they're good, decent, honorable people. The only garbage I see floating out there is just borders.
That's terrible. Remember Hillary? She said deplorable. Garbage, I think, is worse, right?
He is the person who stood at this very spot nearly 4 years ago and sent an armed mob to the United States Capitol.
I find it interesting that, you know, she's decided to go back to that January 6th moment. What she doesn't want to visit is what's happened since January 6th.
Burdened by the idea that she might lose this election, and so she needs to go back and sort of demonize Donald Trump. Looks like she's searching for a message in these final days.
No doubt about it. But she did have a message last night, and it wasn't much different than we predicted when she picked the ellipse to give her address. I mean, it basically is that Donald Trump is unacceptable. His second term will be unsurvivable, perhaps, for the country. And if you look at it, January 6th, freedom on the line. He's got an enemies list. You're on it. Revenge. He breeds fear and hatred. He's going to give tax breaks to billionaires. By the way, he hasn't. January 6th was an abomination, but January 6th is not emblematic of his campaign. It does show we all should pay much more attention to elections. I don't want to go over January 6th. Guess who also doesn't want to? You. You already know how bad it is, or how overrun it is, or how overworked it is, or how it should be front and center. It would never be in my text for my closing thoughts, because I want to look ahead. I want to tell you what I'm going to do. I want to put Joe Biden in the rearview mirror. I want to put Barack Obama in the rearview mirror. I'm going to say these are the things I'm going to do. And this is what I also would include if I was Harris. I'd say, this is what I learned. And that's how I'm no longer against fracking. This is what I learned. And that's why I'm going to put new attention to the border. This is what I learned. Going against Israel in a time of war is something that shows a disloyalty to my other allies. This is what I've learned, that China is even more of a threat than I could have imagined. And then Taiwan, who I just okayed, co-okayed, you could co-opt it, $1 billion worth of missile defense. That's an ongoing threat that could change the world at any moment. And then you say, okay, this is where I was, this is what I learned, and this is what I'll do. You don't bring up Joe Biden. You don't bring up past. No, I told you, I can't. I was, you know, you, if you don't want to say wrong, I evolved from that. You know, that whole trans thing, the more I thought about it, I never really thought about the price that women are paying in their sports. I only thought about the kid that was struggling, and that's fine. And they, you know, when I see women and I'm watching these volleyball games and I'm seeing these trans men bang the ball off these other women's heads, and I see San Jose State get boycotted by other major colleges at the highest level, and I see what happened in the Olympics with these boxers, and I said, you know, myself, it's not fair. And my compassion overwhelmed the logic, and I didn't think about the price female sports was playing. Welcome to the world. Sometimes you're all heart, and it boomerangs on the smallest level, on the biggest level. But she never owned up or explained willingly why she evolved in these certain things. You know, how could you be the last one in the room in Afghanistan with the withdrawal and sign off on that? What were you told? Joe Biden didn't sign off on the bin Laden kill. And we all knew it. Obama did it, and it worked. It's great. One of his greatest victories in his 8 years in office. We found out that Gates wasn't for it either. That's okay. But Harris signed off on it, or else she would have said it. Right? So while she's giving her speech, which was more, Donald Trump is bad, look out, it's going to get worse. Listen to what Joe Biden was saying, just ranting at his desk. First off, just to show you how, yes, sometimes we all get angry and you eat your words or you try to say three things at once. You ever been that angry? This is the way Joe Biden is all the time now. Cut to.
Today I'm proud to announce we're delivering $3 billion in funding from my Inflation Reduction Act to help clean up and modernize ports in 27 different states and territories, from Pennsylvania, Georgia, Michigan, and beyond, including, yes, Puerto Rico. I'd like to take that guy for a swim out there. Anyway. Stenny's looking at me. Don't get going, Joe. Don't get going, Joe. Slow up.
What are you talking about? What guy? Take him for his what? What kind of swim? You want to go drown somebody? You know, take it to the back of the, you know, the back of the shed, the back of the barn, like you're gonna with Trump. But Trump's the violent one, right? And then he says this a little bit later while she's speaking, looking into his laptop. Cut one.
Puerto Rico, where I'm in my home state of Delaware, they're good, decent, honorable people. The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters. His demonization of seen as unconscionable. And it's un-American.
Really? So the only thing you see, his supporters, minimum 74 million, most likely going to get more. He might even win a popular vote this time, even if he doesn't win the electoral vote. They say that's how much more popular he is. And now you're saying his supporters? You're saying that about his supporters are garbage? Talk about spin control. This is spin out of control. In a desperate attempt to clean up the president's mess after calling half the country garbage, they issued a statement that added an apostrophe to the word supporters to the possessive, meaning just that one comedian. Comedian Tony Hinchcliffe, who made a joke about Puerto Rico. I don't see any massive apology. I don't see a walk back. Caroline Leavitt weighed in last night with a quote, President Trump is backed by Latinos, black voters, union workers, angel moms, law enforcement officers, Border Patrol agents, Americans of all faiths. Harris and Waltz and Biden have labeled these great Americans fascist Nazis and now garbage. There's no way to spin it. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris just don't just hate Donald Trump. They despise tens of millions of Americans. Good luck with that. Andrew Bates tries to spin out of it. The president referred to the hateful rhetoric at the Madison Square Garden rally as garbage. I have news for you. There's a New York Times story today where a photographer went in there to go behind the scenes with the New York Times at that event, and he saw nothing but happiness, a sense of celebration. And there were some people up there that got emotional, no doubt about it. I think there were maybe 35, 40 speakers, and it was something put together. We haven't seen this really since Clinton. And, of course, Eisenhower was there. Truman was there. JFK was there. FDR was at a different garden. This garden, the new garden, moved tonight in 1968. But the same thing, the world's most famous arena. So good luck with this. You want to just say Tony Hinchcliffe, whoever he is, who has a successful podcast, represents Donald Trump, and Puerto Ricans can no longer vote for him because somebody booked a comedian on his roster. It makes no sense to me. Is it the best move at all? No. But if you're going to be on the campaign trail for 18 months and you're going to be planning, like today, there's three events, and there's going to be people speaking there that don't get on camera. And all that stuff has to be signed off on. There's got to be guys there and people there ahead of time. Somebody's going to make mistakes. Obviously, they made a mistake. So Marco Rubio, in real time, gets word that Joe Biden said this. He's on the stump in Pennsylvania about to introduce President Trump. Now, picture this. Trump has no idea that this just came down. Cut four.
I wasn't going to say anything, but I have breaking news for you, Mr. President. You may not have heard this. Just moments ago, Joe Biden stated that our supporters are garbage. Are garbage. He's talking about the Border Patrol. He's talking about nurses. He's talking about teachers. He's talking about everyday Americans who love their country and want to dream big again and support you, Mr. President. And I hope their campaign is about to apologize for what Joe Biden just said. We are not garbage. We are patriots who love America. And thank you for running, Mr. President.
Wow. And Trump stepped up to cut three.
That's terrible. That's what it says. That's what it says. So you have, remember Hillary, she said deplorable. And then she said irredeemable, right? But she said deplorable. That didn't work out. Garbage, I think, is worse, right? But he doesn't know. You have to please forgive him. Please forgive him. For he not knoweth what he said.
So we right now, as we speak, the vice president has been forced to comment against President Biden, and she's saying, and we're going to get you the whole soundbite, but I disagree with President Biden's comments. I've never heard her say that on anything, but there's no way to do it. I mean, you can't say she was trapped into it. You can't say he misheard the question. You can't say that he just jumbled his words or has lost his mind, because you already said that he's sane and he's fantastic. So what do you just got to do? I got to disagree. I have to disagree that Donald Trump supporters are garbage. Well, this guy's isolated and he can't handle it. His legacy is destroyed and he can't understand it. He's not used on the campaign trail and doesn't want to accept it. Why can't you accept it? Bill Clinton was told to stand back by Al Gore. He got over it. George W. Bush was told you can't help John McCain even if you wanted to. His approval rating was low because the economy had just collapsed. He understood it. This guy's even older than Bush. As well as Clinton, more experienced, but he just can't understand why his feelings are hurt. He can't be used, or his wife's feelings are hurt. I'm not even sure. We take a time out. I'm going to welcome in Jim Schultz. He's the president of the Minnesota Private Business Council. We got to find out about his chances of being the next attorney general over in Minnesota. Also, what he knows about Governor Waltz and his links to China and beyond. And at the bottom of the hour, Yuval David, a celebrated Emmy Award-winning actor, host, director, and filmmaker, who is commenting on the anti-Semitism is running rampant in New York City. Also, the success they had in hitting Iran and what the next hit could look like. Kamala Harris just completed her comments and addressing the emergency situation with what President Biden said last night. And you know it's an emergency if she addressed it, because she hates doing unscripted interviews with any members of the press, even though 74% of everything they write is positive for her. Don't move.
Covering this election year like no other, it's Brian Kilmeade. Radio that makes you think. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show.
First of all, he clarified his comments, but let me be clear. I strongly disagree with any criticism of people based on who they vote for. It's, you heard my speech last night and continuously throughout my career. I believe that the work that I do is about representing all the people, whether they support me or not.
And then that is Kamala Harris moments ago, right before she gets on a jet plane, stupidly saying these important words with the jet engines on, when she would distance herself possibly for the first time from Joe Biden after his comments last night where he called Trump supporters garbage. And she says, that's not me, and I distance myself from the president on that. Now, Biden comes back and says, I meant just the comedian, to paraphrase, just the supporter, not supporters. Well, you said supporters. And he didn't walk it back until hours later until you realize what kind of stupid mistake you made, or saying the truth and not wanting to alienate 74 million people. So we'll follow this story, including the tweet I'll read in a moment. But let's talk about the running mate of Kamala Harris, who almost everyone knows she made a huge mistake. Obviously, Josh Shapiro would have been much more formidable, but especially in Pennsylvania, where he's looked at as a moderate, although people in Pennsylvania tell me he's not. He certainly is better on his feet, and he's got a better resume. Jim Schultz joins us now, president of the Minnesota Private Business Council, and was the Republican nominee for the Minnesota Attorney General spot in 2022. He wrote a column about the Tim Walz that he knows. Jim, you're not a fan.
I am not a fan, Brian. Thanks so much for having me on. I mean, Tim Walz has been a total catastrophe for Minnesota on basically every metric, economic, education, crime, you name it. And as long as we're talking about, garbage and so forth, Tim Walz's record in Minnesota is garbage. I mean, it's been a total catastrophe. And I can't believe, he's got the possibility of being the vice president of the United States.
Well, how did he win re-election?
Well, it's a good question. As you know, I mean, we're a light blue state, and so Democrat, is out in front a few points just based on that reality. And I think a lot of Minnesotans gave him a pass based on the pandemic, based on a lot of different things. And sometimes the Republican Party in our state also gets in its way a little bit. But if you just look at the numbers, you look at the basic facts, it's in a lot of which have been covered up by our media as well. He's been a really terrible governor for our state. And it doesn't speak well for Kamala Harris that the first big decision she made was to pick him out of the gates.
Well, he speaks from the heart. He could be a knucklehead at times. One of the worst excuses ever. I mean, do you really want to elect a knucklehead that could be president?
I know it exactly. I mean, it's like, I sometimes think about saying that to my wife when she's upset with me. Oh, honey, I'm just a knucklehead. I mean, the fact is we need competence in the vice presidency. And admitting that, you speak stupidly often is not exactly a strong defense. And you're right. I mean, he has this habitually dishonest in many different ways. And he just excuses it by this knucklehead thing. And, it doesn't speak well with him.
Tell me about the feeding our future scandal.
Yes. Yeah, so this was the biggest fraud scandal through the course of COVID. $250 million that was meant for needy kids that went into the hands of criminals. What's really remarkable about this is that they knew very early on that this was fraudulent, and they continued delivering tens of millions of dollars. That is, the Walz administration continued delivering tens of millions of dollars to the fraudsters. They finally notified the FBI several months after they realized it. So it just goes to show, just how incompetent, Tim Walz's administration has been. And then, following that, he didn't fire anybody. He didn't recommend
anybody. When you say fraudsters,
who got the aid?
Who are these people that got the aid, got the money?
So there's these criminal networks. Nothing against Somalian Americans, many of whom are great people and upright and so forth, but it was mostly Somali Americans here, of which we have many who in our state, and most of them are law-abiding and great people, but it was mostly Somali American network that fraudulently obtained these funds, said they were feeding kids that they weren't, and they pilfered our state for $250 million. And there's been a variety of other fraud scandals out there, none of which Tim Walz has responded to in any meaningful way.
So what about the China connection? Has that been fully explored?
I don't think it has. And this is, it's kind of a newer one that's out there, but it's, it's strange, and Tim Walz needs to speak to it. You know, it might be one of those things where there's a little bit of smoke there, but no fire. But it's just odd. You know, you seemingly had a relationship with the daughter of a Communist Party official. He's gone there dozens of times. Now, maybe he just really, you know, appreciated the country. You know, who knows? Maybe there's benign explanations here, but he should explain it. You know, this is it's very odd. And it's something that the American people deserve to know, the background of.
Look, she had one decision to make, and she made a terrible decision. You will put Mark Kelly, he's a decorated military airline fighter pilot, who's an astronaut, who's already in, as a senator, whatever you think, much more formidable, and would have given him stronger military credentials, or Governor Shapiro. And she picked a governor with a terrible record and has been a terrible performer, who pretends to be a head coach. He's not even a head coach, he's an assistant coach, or was. Thanks so much, Jim.
I'm a knucklehead at times.
Breaking news, unique opinions. Hear it all on the Brian Kilmeade Show.
There's a direct parallel to a big rally that happened in the mid-1930s at Madison Square Garden.
This was a hate rally. These are mini January 6th rallies.
How did we get where a stadium of people come to hate?
Yesterday's Trump rally from hell.
Vile, racist, sexist insults dominated Donald Trump's rally at Madison Square Garden.
Welcome back, everyone. That's just some of the reviews from other networks that didn't really take the time either to attend or watch the rally at MSG. It was overwhelmingly successful. You had 18,000 on the inside. I would say about 7,000 on the outside. There weren't even counter-protesters. You know, normally if in years past, if you're walking around with a Trump hat or a Trump sign, you're going to be confronted, and there's going to be these groups against those groups. And you remember what happened in 2020. And then, of course, January 6th. It didn't happen this time. And there was a comedian who makes some disparaging remarks. That's since been overwhelmed by President Biden's disparaging remarks about calling Trump supporters garbage. That extraordinarily just been walked back by the vice president, rebuked the current president. So this is all unfolding right now. But at the center of this in many ways is the Israel situation, which everyone's afraid to address because it could cost you votes in Michigan. If you're too pro-Israel, they feel as though you'll cost you votes in Michigan. If you're anti-Israel, it'll cost you votes with the Jewish community and a lot of conservatives. So you can always just do the right thing and support your ally. Yuval David has no problem understanding where he stands. Celebrated Emmy Award-winning actor. He's been with us before and an activist. And you were at the Trump rally.
I was at the Trump rally. And I was outside the Trump rally. That was a very interesting thing for me
when
to see.
When were you outside? Waiting to get in?
Yeah, because I was on air in Washington, D.C. That morning. So I actually wasn't able to get inside to the Trump rally. So my experience was from the outside, speaking with people.
Well, how many thousands would you say were outside?
I wouldn't say I saw thousands. I saw hundreds by the time I got to the city.
Okay.
Now, the photos that were sent to me were packed streets, something unbelievable. I actually used to live really near that area. I've never seen photos of that many people going into
Madison Square
Gardens.
And you're talking about Knicks and Rangers games?
Amazing.
Yeah, you're talking
never
about Billy Joel concerts.
Never seen it. Never seen it. And I think that is something amazing. You just referenced how people are walking around with Trump hats. People are walking around with much more pride right now. That is what we need to bring America back to being. Maybe not back, move forward towards people being able to be proud of who they are and what they believe, where everybody can have their opinions, everybody can be proud of their political leanings and do so openly. We've been seeing a quieting of conservative voices for a long time in America, and right now we saw people rising up in great numbers.
So, you know, this is so interesting. If you look at the two stories in the New York Times, Harris's mission, disqualify Trump but extend a hand to his voters. In closing, Harris casts herself as a unifier and Trump as a petty tyrant. I'm looking at this. She brings up January 6th. She talks about him attack on freedom, attack on democracy. How could she paint herself as a unifier while spending all the time attacking is unbelievable to me. But there was a photographer that got inside the rally and said they expected to see a lot of violence, a lot of anger. And they said, and to this New York Times photographer's credit, said he experienced just the opposite. said it was a celebration. It was so feeling of coming together, and people were positive. Do you believe they think they're going to win?
Of course I believe they're going to win, but I also believe that they're just as concerned as anybody in the Republican Party, because this is going to be a – this is a very close race. I have no clue which way it would go, and neither way would surprise me, and that is very concerning for everybody. And I think that's why we're seeing people in the Democratic Party, especially in all the marketing and PR teams there, who are trying to amplify these narratives of emotions using words like Nazi, using words like Hitler, using words like racist.
How do you feel about that? Do you feel like we're normalizing these terms? They were always
absolutely,
third rail?
Absolutely appropriating terms. Look, let me actually speak as an American Jew, a grandchild of Holocaust survivors. I don't like when people use the word Nazi unless they're speaking about Nazis. I think that it's a very dangerous reference, and it's a false reference to refer to Republicans as Nazis, to refer to Trump as a Nazi. I think it's absolutely wrong, and it's low-hanging fruit. It means that they don't have a better argument. It's basically calling somebody stupid or using whatever epithet because they don't know what else to say. So Trump is doing really well, and they're frightened about that.
Do you believe – I know there was Barnard, and there was this incident where they booked an anti-Semitic speaker at Barnard College, right, affiliated with Columbia. I get that. But those are the old days. I mean, a few months ago, there were riots at almost every major Ivy League institution, in Stanford and others, the elite institutions.
Absolutely.
Do you believe word went out from Democrats, keep it down until after the election, because it's impossible to explain?
Well,
there's no way they're over it.
I wish they would say keep it down, but as a Jew, I did not hear enough keep it down. I heard even Kamala, when she was interrupted in her speeches, would say, hey, don't interrupt me. I'm speaking now, but you have a point. But she'd say that person is saying something right.
Because they were that pro is – they were anti. They were pro.
They're anti-Israel, anti-Zionist, anti-Jewish, and she basically said they have a point. That is one of the problems within the Democratic Party, and why we're seeing this Jewish American vote starting to shift. The goalposts have been moved by the Democrats, right, because of their support of people who are anti-Jewish, anti-Israel, anti-Zionist, and anti-America.
So I thought Eric Adams should be given some credit.
Absolutely.
Because he was asked a couple of times, should Donald Trump be having a rally, which they say is akin to 1939 pro-Hitler rally? And he said, stop it. Of course he can have a rally. And then it brought up again. Meanwhile, the guy's in the middle of a series of indictments. Huge. There's a lot to report there and ask this guy. So listen to this. Cut 10.
And with all that's going on to everyday New Yorkers, we're asking questions that is someone a fascist or is someone a Hitler? That's insulting to me. That is insulting, and I'm not going to engage in that. Everyone needs to turn down the rhetoric, because after Election Day, we still have to be the United States and not the divided states. And so if people can't understand their real issues facing New Yorkers, and I just find it just humiliating that what everyday mom and pops are doing and going through across this country, that here we are, having this conversation about this silly item.
You agree, I guess.
I'm shaking my head in complete approval about being the United States, not the divided states. One of the reasons that I've felt politically homeless is because as a lifelong Democrat, progressive, liberal, I do not feel safe within my own movements and political parties, where I'm not able to speak my truth and my values, which are truly freedom of speech, everybody having a seat at the table. So where's the United States that I was raised to understand this country is, when I'm seeing people condemn anybody who doesn't agree with them? My own movements that preach tolerance and acceptance, right, have become intolerant and don't accept people. So now everybody needs to speak up for those values that are American values, of all of us being able to be proud of who we are and supporting each other no matter their opinions.
So how connected are you to Israel? Do you have family and friends over there?
Most of my family's in Israel. I'm a dual citizen. I'm Israeli in America. Israel is a major element of how that affects how I'm going to vote. But I'm a three-issue voter who supports the American Jewish community, who condemns anti-Semitism in this country, and who supports Israel. Those trump all of my other issues that affect how I vote.
And, you know, with Trump's message to the Arab community, he got a lot of Arab support in Michigan. You know what I said? I have nothing against Muslims, Arabs. Look at the Abraham Accords. This takes two sides to come together. So you got five or six countries lined up to recognize Israel, and it got stopped by one country using terror groups. Mm-hmm. and that is Iran. Absolutely. Using their allies in Syria, their allies in Lebanon, and their allies who run the Palestinian organization.
Right, which is why Israel is fighting a war on seven fronts against the head of the snake, the Islamic Republic of Iran, that has been funding all of these destabilizing terrorist groups across the Middle East. But those same terrorist groups have infiltrated into Europe. We already know they've infiltrated into the United States. We need tough leadership mm-hmm. that will condemn the Islamization of the world. It is dangerous, and we need to amplify more of these Muslim voices, just like Trump did, who are centrists, who do believe in democracy, who do believe in equality and safety for all.
So you are what's the feeling on the ground in Israel right now? Because since the last time you come here, Israel has done remarkable things in Lebanon, maybe giving Lebanon back to the Lebanese. And then you see Sinwar's death and his laptop and what was in his pockets, talking about strategies, futures, mm-hmm. and his brother might still be running things, but let's hope to get the hostages out. And then we find out this hit on Iran. Originally, they go, wow, kind of a minor hit. I want you to hear what Jack Keane said about first Jennifer Griffin said about what they accomplished, and it's just actually the opposite of what you heard. Only 20 targets, but they were the right targets. Cut 31.
Fox News has also learned that the Israeli warplanes took out multiple radar systems that are needed to guide those ballistic missiles that were fired at Israel in April and on October 1st. During that last barrage, Iran fired 181 ballistic missiles at Israel. As one senior official told Fox, eliminating the missile sites is not enough. Removing the radar systems prevents Iran from firing those missiles in the future.
And here's what else they did. 30.
A senior U.S. official tells Fox the Israeli warplanes took out three of Iran's Russian-made S-300 air defense systems. At the start of the year, Iran only had four S-300 surface-to-air missile systems. Back in April, Israel took out one of the four S-300s in response to Iran's first ballistic missile attack on Israel. Now it seems that those F-35 fighter jets destroyed the other three. Separately, a senior Israeli official confirms, quote, the majority of Iran's air defense was taken out. The Israeli official added, President Biden's advisor for the Middle East, Amos Hochstein, described it on an internal call saying Iran is essentially naked with no air defenses.
Think about that.
This makes me so proud as an Israeli citizen, but it also makes me proud as an American citizen. The era of the weak, quiet Jew, the era of the Jew who's just trying to appease people is over. Israel is representing the Jewish people, and the American Jews who are waking up and speaking up for ourselves, which is why we're seeing so many American Jews leaving the Democratic Party and going to the Republican Party, saying, this is what we believe in. Our safety matters, and we will fight for it. That operation, the Israeli Air Force, is unbelievable. And it's important to reference that Top Gun, the movie with Tom Cruise, is based on the Israeli Air Force. These people are absolute heroes. Mm-hmm. And the stories of what Israel and their covert operations, it's amazing.
So if they're going to hit back, they know they're totally defenseless. Makes me know that they're not going to hit back. I mean, they're going to be destroyed unless the Russians can rush over with a missile defense system, which is probably going to be better, because think about what Iran has been giving Russia to sustain that ridiculous war that's killing so many.
Right.
Including 500,000 Russians, or taking 500,000 Russians off the battlefield, dead or wounded.
Well, the other thing that Russia has been getting...
It's all linked.
It's all linked. But Russia has also been getting all of these mercenaries. They've been getting all of these Islamist evil people who just want to fight and kill, and they're bringing them into the war. Russia... We need to put a lot more focus on Russia to understand why Russia wishes to destabilize the region in order to just have its own power. That's why we need to amplify what America is doing, and not with this ceasefire talk that we keep hearing Kamala Harris speaking about ceasefire.
Talk.
It should be surrender. Ceasefire. What is a ceasefire? There is no equal footing between Israel, the IDF, the Israeli Air Force, and Hamas, Hezbollah, the ISIS, the Islamic Republic of Iran. Ceasefire. How do you have a ceasefire with terrorist groups that are preaching genocide, that want to destroy Israel, that want to destroy America?
They just reload.
Yeah.
And North Koreans are now fighting over there. But Russia is arming the Houthis, providing help along with Iran and providing logistics to help them continue to clear out the Red Sea. So now you can't get commerce going through there. So we should start getting on the offense. What does Russia not have? A good economy. Mm-hmm. What do they not have? Any innovation. What if it's been wiped out? Their Navy. So let's get them responding to us.
Exactly.
Let's find a way to foment some unrest in their country. You see where that goes.
100% true. You speak about being on the offense. That is what we need to do. That is what America needs to be again. America needs to be the big boy, the big girl, whatever gender you wish to use, the big person on campus. We need to prove our might and our ability to change this world for the better.
Yuval, David, thanks so much for coming in,
keeping us up
to date on what you're doing, what you're working on. And continue the fight. I love the in the between your visits. A lot of good things have happened for Israel.
A lot of good things. My social media has become a mess. I keep getting banned on social media, but you know, that's what happens when you speak your mind.
The next step, hostages out. That would be
amen,
great.
Amen.
Brian Kilmeade Show.
Both sides, all opinions. It's Brian Kilmeade. The fastest 3 hours in radio. You're with Brian Kilmeade.
I would never insult the good people of Pennsylvania or any Americans, even if they chose to support a candidate that I didn't support. I think President Biden will decide what he wants to say. It's certainly not words that I would choose.
Pretty cool. This is getting bigger. Governor Shapiro, just I like a real answer. Whatever you think, just answer honestly. So he hears the remarks from Joe Biden basically saying that 70 million Trump supporters are garbage, that Trump, that he's trying to walk back now, that the vice president who wants to be president just said, I'm different from Joe Biden here. And Governor Shapiro says, you know, I'm different from that. I don't want to alienate anybody. So I appreciate Governor Shapiro coming out. Another reason why he should have been the pick over Governor Waltz. I think part of the reason is where you Republicans would have had no problem having a Jewish person on the ticket. They have a huge problem because they're worried about their anti-Gaza squad, their anti-Israeli squad. They're pro-Gaza, leave the Palestinians alone. It's okay just to kill 1,500 Israelis in the most brutal way possible. Just don't hit back. So they just, instead of doing the right thing and getting the most talented running mate, one that didn't threaten her, she ends up picking one that is seems to be a bad assistant football coach and a questionable teacher with weird allegiance to China and trouble knowing to know what to do with his hands. So a little crazy. It's getting bigger. This whole thing is getting bigger. And they want to talk about it. I'm watching the other channels, too, you know, while I'm doing this. And they're desperate to go back to MSG and pop out that comedian that said disparaging things about Puerto Rico. And he says it was a joke. He loves it there, but that's his sense of humor. If you want to talk about a staffer in the Trump campaign that blew it, yeah, go ahead. But if you want to say that Donald Trump feels the way a comedian he never met is, a little crazy. But then you have Joe Biden coming out and saying what he said, and here it is, cut two.
But today I'm proud to announce we're delivering $3 billion in funding from my Inflation Reduction Act to help clean up and modernize ports in 27 different states and territories, from Pennsylvania, Georgia, Michigan, and beyond, including, yes, Puerto Rico. Like, take that guy for a swim out there.
Idiot. And I mean that, the president, out of his mind. Cut one.
For Puerto Rico, where I'm in my home state of Delaware, they're good, decent, honorable people. The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters.
Yeah. That's all. Those words, the only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters. By the way, he was about to say he grew up in a Puerto Rican church. That's where he was going. He always does that. They're my constituents. You didn't grow up in a Puerto Rican church, and you do despise, you can't understand Donald Trump supporters. You're afraid to say it, but you're saying anything right now because you're humiliated as a president. And sadly, you're running our country. Now you have the vice president walking away from you, the number one governor walking away from you. I imagine everybody's walking away from you.
News radio studios in Midtown Manhattan. It's the fastest growing radio talk show. Brian Kilmeade.
Puerto Rico, where I'm in my home state of Delaware, they're good, decent, honorable people. The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters.
That's terrible.
Remember Hillary? She said deplorable. Garbage, I think, is worse, right?
He is the person who stood at this very spot nearly 4 years ago and sent an armed mob to the United States Capitol.
I find it interesting that, you know, she's decided to go back to that January 6th moment. What she doesn't want to visit is what's happened since January 6th.
Burdened by the idea that she might lose this election, and so she needs to go back and sort of demonize Donald Trump. Looks like she's searching for a message in these final days.
So that was Josh Holmes, obviously, from the Ruthless podcast, former chief of staff to Mitch McConnell. And earlier it was the comments of Joe Biden, which is the number one story right now, in my opinion, because he made these comments last night while Kamala Harris was giving her closing speech on why you should elect her. Kennedy's here, by the way. She has to tolerate me.
Great to see you. Great to see me. Thank you.
But I thought if I expanded the introduction, it would make the segment even better, unless you had a better idea.
Well, it makes it shorter.
Yeah, for you.
Well, we have less time to talk.
But just to expand on this just a little bit to update people.
Sure.
Now we have a situation where Kamala Harris actually commented by the plane about separating herself from Joe Biden. Can we hear that?
First of all, he clarified his comments, but let me be clear. I strongly disagree with any criticism of people based on who they vote for. You heard my speech last night and continuously throughout my career. I believe that the work that I do is about representing all the people, whether they support me or not.
What is she saying? What did that mean?
Number one, I got to be in front of a jet engine saying something that really matters that much. Crazy, right? Is there anybody there that could just go, can you guys meet me by the hangar? We're going to shut because we need this
important clarification.
Right, because obviously that's terrible audio.
Yeah.
Number two is she separated herself from Joe Biden with 6 days left.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy who's been isolated and excoriated and mocked can't handle
Shivved.
It.
No.
And so he screwed up, and she now has to say, I separate myself from Joe Biden. I mean, this is pretty big news.
It is big news, but it's too little too late. I don't know if there's anything that can happen between now and the election that is going to change people's minds, because so many people are deeply entrenched, more so than in the last two presidential cycles. And whoever is still sitting on the fence, like, how do you make dinner reservations? How do you choose a wedding venue?
So, you know, it's so funny. What do we have? The comedian Jim Gaffigan came out and said, you know, for those of you who haven't made their minds, what is wrong with you?
Yeah.
You know, and basically you have to wonder about that. But you would think after that comedian hopped on Sunday and made those disparaging comments in a funny way, or what he thought was a funny way about Puerto Rico, you would think that turned the entire tide. There wasn't one Puerto Rican that would ever vote for Trump, even though I'm pretty sure Trump couldn't recognize him in a lineup.
The comic?
Yeah.
They should have had Jimmy Fallon, because at least Jimmy Fallon's funny.
Right.
Like, I've seen his stand-up a bunch of times. He does a lot of political stuff. He makes fun of everybody. I think he would have been a better person.
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, and then Jimmy, of all people, Jon Stewart, played his segment on the Tom Brady roast.
Mm-hmm.
And it was disparaging blacks, Jews, every stereotype possible. And people were falling over laughing. It mm-hmm. was just the wrong place for that, especially when you have people out to try to make it a Nazi rally. Suddenly they had some content.
Yeah, but then, you know, what they do is they take the entire rally and they reduce it to one of his kind of lame jokes. And is that fair? No, it's not necessarily fair, but that's all they have right now. Like, that's the only strategy they have right now is doing whatever they can. And it's an offensive strategy to say that Trump is Hitler.
I think so. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's pretty bad.
Like, you can be an authoritarian and not be Hitler.
Right.
Like, let's say he's got authoritarian leanings. You could make a case for that. Like, you could say there might be something inside of him that wants more control than maybe a president should have. Totally fair. Big leap to say he's a genocidal maniac who wants to kill 6 million people.
Especially if they're Jews and his daughter's Jewish, his grandchildren are Jewish.
There
he's
were
the one
so
who brought
many
the Abraham
Israel,
Accords.
Yeah, Israel, Abraham Accords. And I think he might have moved the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem.
That was him.
If I'm not mistaken.
So I just love the way people cover the story. So yesterday, the big story in Politico was the ripple effect, the huge wave and after effects and backlash from the president's comments on Madison Square Garden in the Pennsylvania Puerto Rican community, which is evidently the biggest community ever. There's more Puerto Ricans in Pennsylvania than Puerto Rico, according to Politico. But now this story, Hill Republicans are using Biden's garbage comment to squeeze Democrats. Okay, fine. Mm-hmm. You might want to condemn the garbage content, talk about how divisive that statement is, mm-hmm. as opposed to the Republican reaction to Joe Biden's horrible statement. But you're the writer. You write for the Daily Mail.
I do, Brian.
I just read it.
Thank you, Brian. And I'm glad you do. And we're very delighted to have your support.
Read it this morning. I don't know if you heard. Excellent. Top story is probably the most important. Hunter Biden fears the end of America as we know it if Donald Trump is elected.
Oh, that changes my vote. Oh, my gosh. The end of America because Hunter Biden said so.
Yes.
I mean, this is someone with so much clarity and a history of great personal choices. I really want to hear what he has to say about politics.
And I should just add this to give context. 51 Intel experts said it was actually Hunter Biden that said that. So just so you know, it absolutely happened.
Yeah,
don't worry about that. So we're looking at this thing too close to call. A couple of things. Just look at some subtleties. In North Carolina, it looks like they pulled the Kamala Harris's crew, went from a $4 million buy to a $2 million buy. Some people indicate, and the numbers show, might have given up a little on North Carolina, but she's in Pennsylvania today, where the number of Democrats voting early doubled that of Republicans, which is very typical to 2020, a little atypical to 2024. Some were worried about that. Also, the number of Republicans are noting how many women, a lot of women are coming out to vote early.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and Trump has had trouble with women. And, you know, we will see the postmortem on this race will be the gender divide. You know, it will be, did Kamala not do enough to make her case to men? And did Trump do too much to alienate women?
Right.
Because he's done an incredible job reaching out to men just through the podcast appearances that he's had in and of themselves. But it's women where he's going to have the biggest problem. Women also tend to be a larger portion of the voting electorate. So women make up about 55%, just shy of 55% of voters.
Right. And for the most part, women have been a very productive part of American society. Would you back that up?
I would say they are the most productive in terms of generating humans.
Would you also? Right. Probably number one.
Yeah.
Would you say number one?
I would say number one, but I think that's a bold stance, and it speaks to my bravery.
That you think that women can give birth.
Yes.
Right. You are.
I know. It's controversial.
I mean, the courage that you show on a daily basis.
Every day.
Right. You could be a Supreme Court justice. Not anymore, though, because you made a stand.
Oh, no. Number one is
a
woman.
There was a time
in
America.
I'm not a biologist, Brian.
Right. There was a time in America. That's right. I'm not a biologist. There was a time in America where we didn't laugh at that. We'd go, yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
But now we've sobered up, and now we're running from those stances.
Don't speak for yourself.
I'm not today.
Oh,
I'm sobered up generally as a society.
Oh, as a society. Yes,
right,
indeed.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because you drink during your podcast.
Before, during, and after, Brian.
Right. And you don't even there was a point we used to deny that.
Until they installed the breathalyzer to get into the studio.
Right, which is weird. Everybody else uses a key card. You breathe into a straw. And then the door's open.
And then
open.
I have a pat down, which is weird. Which I'm going into my own studio, friend.
Often strangers. Right? We'll pat you down. You're like, do you even work here? Sooner or later, I'm going to need to see ID. Or you're going to have to get my number. So Nikki Haley was on with Brett last night. And she had she's very good at subtlety.
Yeah.
But this is interesting. Cut 24.
This is not a time to have anyone criticize Puerto Rico or Latinos. This is not a time for them to get overly masculine with this bromance thing that they've got going. 53% of the electorate are women. Women will vote. They care about how they're being talked to, and they care about the issues. They need to remember that. This is a time of discipline, and this is a time of addition.
So that's a message clear to the Trump people. Your thoughts about, I take her at her word. I don't see any secret agenda. Some say what she's trying to say is if he loses, she wants to say, I told you.
I think everyone wants to say that. I think in a close race, everyone, at least half the people, will have the chance to say, I told you so. But she's not wrong here. And, you know, if you are a Trump supporter, you're looking at all of this and you're saying it really shouldn't be this close. And it's close. Either, you know, he's got a much bigger lead than we're seeing right now, or he's going to lose, and they have adjusted for all of the Trump voters that they didn't adjust for in 2016 and 2020.
Because you saw that CNN stat data guy. He came out and said, everyone keeps saying that Trump outperforms his polls, but maybe we understand it by him. Maybe we understand the polls side now, and it's Harris.
That is the biggest variable in this race. It is what we know about Trump supporters and whether or not pollsters have been able to either weight their anticipated responses or if they've been able to gather a bigger sample size. If they have, then the race is this close. And he's still, you know, it's like there's a chance that he loses. There's a chance that, people are angry and they're going to come out and vote against him.
So, Kennedy, both sides say what you just said. How he's been indicted five times. Yeah. He was impeached at the end. January 6th happened. How could you be even close to him? What's going on here? Then on the other side, you look at everything that Joe Biden's done with the border and all the things we've been over to ad nauseum. And you go, how could this even be close?
Yes. How could this be close?
And I never saw both sides with their point of view saying, how can this be close?
Yeah. And her answers are so bad. You know, it's like 75% of the country thinks we're on the wrong track.
Right.
You've been vice president for 3.5 years. And Donald Trump has been running for president. It's like, that's not an answer.
Right.
You know, on
but
the
that
view,
was her
what,
answer.
What would you do differently than Joe Biden? Can't think of one thing. Right. Not one thing. Not one.
Have you ever thought of preparing just for anything?
Or at least sitting down with your team and, right. and they go, you know, let's play good cop, bad cop. I'm going to give you the hard questions. I think they might ask you, and then I'm going to give you a canned response that you can use.
Yes,
that will allay people's fears.
I'm from a middle class.
Does she not do that? I'm from a middle class family. Doesn't answer. What would you have done differently over the last 3.5 years?
I think you're yelling at me for her answers,
Brian. How could you?
I'm just trying to get context to your comments, and I'm getting the brunt of this. How about this? A Gallup poll showed that Carter, at this point in the race, Jimmy Carter, was 1 percentage point nationally in late October, only 4 days before the vote, according to CBS. They had a Gallup poll. Only 1 point difference between him and Reagan, and we know Reagan routed him.
Yeah.
Some say
not as hard as Mondale.
Right, 49-1. Yeah. And he almost won Minnesota.
Oof.
Right, that would have been bad. But, you mean, keep in mind, too, before that second debate, people were saying that Reagan was too old.
Yeah.
And then he killed it in the second debate. But the first debate, he was not strong. We'll see what happens.
Are we going to have a second debate? Is that what you're saying?
No, well, I'm just saying I'm going back in time before we know each other.
Yeah, yeah.
And you were on MTV.
I'm not going to use your youth and inexperience against you.
Right.
Walter Mondale's like, go! I didn't see that coming. Dang it!
And I shouldn't laugh, but I laughed. For more on Walter Mondale, biographer Kennedy.
Hard-hitting.
Be back in a moment.
It's Brian Kilmeade. The talk show that's getting you talking. You're with Brian Kilmeade.
So we have a few more minutes with Kennedy. Kennedy, what can we see you on next? We got your podcast, number one.
Yes, Kennedy Saves the World. Go to Fox News Podcast right now. And you can download my podcast. It's 5 days a week. You can take me with you literally anywhere.
Right. World Series.
I'll be on America's Newsroom tomorrow Jessica Tarlov.
Yeah. She's hosting, or you're debating?
No, we're debating because people think that we're the same person.
Right. You debate personalities? Or,
yeah.
Because I don't look at you as, like Sean Hannity's a conservative. We all know Sean Hannity.
Yeah.
When I went with you, I don't really put you into a category.
Am I right
not to do that?
Yeah.
Is that a compliment?
Yes, I'm an unaffiliated independent voter. So, I'm also a philosophical libertarian. I don't remember the Libertarian Party.
Favorite philosopher? Do you have one?
I do. Ernst Cassirer. And Socrates through Plato, because Socrates didn't write anything down. Plato wrote what are known as Socratic dialogues with Socrates as the main character. So it is assumed that he was writing Socrates' philosophy. And then he sort of broke from Socrates later in his career and refuted some of his logic.
Right. What was his first name? Was it Les? But I do know that. I thought that was amazing because I had to take two semesters of philosophy.
Oh, good
college,
for you. That's great.
And I remember the whole thing with Socrates. Wouldn't write anything down.
Yeah.
Right? He also didn't shower and killed himself.
He didn't kill himself. He
drank hemlock. He had to know what was going to
happen.
Yeah,
but he knew it was coming, but he also knew that he would shock the world into...
With his death?
Yes, yeah. That his death would shock the world into reason.
Wow. That was a miscalculation from a guy that Socrates...
Yeah,
he must be a maddening guy to be around because of the Socratic method of questioning. Mm-hmm. He would never tell you what to think, but just keep asking you questions.
Yes.
After a while, you'd be like, enough, get a beer. I'm just here to watch the game. Right? I mean, can you just see that this is annoying you? So not many people know this. Tell me if you have the same knowledge. And if you don't be embarrassed.
Okay, sure.
Starts with Socrates, mm-hmm. goes to Plato, mm-hmm. goes to Aristotle, mm-hmm. goes to Alexander the Great.
Well, not necessarily. They were the concurrent. So Aristotle was a personal tutor of Alexander the Great.
And
Alexander the Great
learner.
Sent him a bunch of samples from various insects and plants that he would see in his conquests and travels.
Right. By the way, I've taken over a peninsula. I've taken over the landmass of Central Asia. Mm-hmm. How would you like to see this mosquito?
Yes.
I mean, wouldn't you expect a little bit more?
Yeah, maybe Aristotelopolis will be the capital of Central Asia.
Would have been nice instead of everything Alexandra, yeah. Right?
Here's a giant beetle. What do you think?
Great. How about some cash? You're 21 years old, took over the world. What about some incentives? Like his business must have boomed.
Could have been nice.
My last client took over the world, just saying, at 21 years old.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, nothing worse than one of those overachievers,
right,
those young overachievers.
There
make all of us look bad.
Do you also think there's a danger to having too much success young? Like if you're going to take over the world, do it in your 30s. Because if you do it young, it's like, what do you do for a sequel?
Well, that's what I always thought about kids who go to college when they're 12.
Big
mistake. So it's like, what are you doing? So you're done with college. Like you're probably going to finish in 3 years. And then you get your PhD by the time you're 22.
Right.
And then what?
You have no friends.
No.
You're not shaving yet. You got a great degree and you can't drive yourself to work.
Like you've never partied. No
right.
one's ever held your hair back while you barfed in the toilet after
right.
a pre-mixer.
I wouldn't necessarily think that's a good example for my audience.
They right? know what I'm talking about.
But you're doing your autobiography again. I hate when you do that. So, I mean, just because you experience it, that doesn't mean everyone has to experience that. Again, if you're 12 and about to go to UCLA, tell your mom, no, eighth grade for me. Mom, you heard me.
Stay in eighth grade. Stay in cheerleading. Be bullied. It'll be better for you in the long run.
And if you are very successful and ambitious, make those goals a 30-something goal instead of a 20-something.
And then be a billionaire. Give me money.
Good.
He's so busy, he'll make your head spin. It's Brian Kilmeade.
When he goes up on a stage and the people that he wants to appoint as leadership heads in administration, and they echo the words of Adolf Hitler, in America for Americans. No, he's not talking about U.S. citizens. He's talking about who he believes is loyal enough to Donald Trump, and that's who he considers an American.
Right, and of course, if I want to find out what Stephen Miller means, I definitely want to go to AOC. And if I want to find out what Donald Trump really means, I should go to the person that would be least know the least about him, and that would be AOC over in Queens. So, by the way, American for Americans, I believe, is also a jingle, and it might actually be a country music song. Or you could say it's Hitler if you want everything to be about Hitler. But the thing about Hitler is that the people that are like Hitler don't want you to know it, and for the people that want to accuse you of that, that's to get votes. Or get the other guy votes. Jeff Lax is a CUNY law professor at Kingsborough Community College right here in Manhattan and founder of Safe Campus, which advocates for Zionist Jews discriminated against, which is happening everywhere. And he just wrote a column just on the whole. We need a sobering look at who Hitler is and why Donald Trump or any other political figure is not that. Jeff, welcome back.
I'm so always, you know, thankful for you covering this. So few people do. Thank you.
Well, first off, what do you think about AOC defining what Trump really means?
I mean, it's sick. It's grotesque. It's absolutely grotesque that they would call him, that any American would call any political opposition Hitler. I mean, it really is beyond. And listen, I am a grandchild of four Holocaust survivors. So for me, this is very personal.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first time I've ever written an op-ed that was very personal. It's not something I usually do, but this was very personal for me. And I lived this. I heard what the Holocaust was. I know what the Holocaust was. It was the greatest human rights violation in the history of the world, and I heard about it from my grandparents directly when I was a child. And to even come close to comparing, I mean, it's not even close. It's so ridiculous. And like I said, it's grotesque. It is so offensive to any Jew who has family, of the 6 million people who were, you know, murdered so brutally. It's absolutely so deeply offensive. And we both know that it is dangerous now for politicians, because when you put, you know, all this hysteria out there, we see what happened to Trump, and you put them in such great danger, because obviously there are people who are unstable. And when you call someone Hitler, they may just go out and say, listen, if that's Hitler, I got to take care of it. Got to stop it.
Right. And you talk about what's happening on campus. You say in the spring honor student, a thesis was entitled An Exploration of Trump's and Hitler's Rise to Power. You said it was accepted by Gardner-Webb University and published in an academic journal. You say that another thesis argued that Trump and Hitler ascended to power in very similar ways. And you said they compare Hitler's Mein Kampf to Trump's 2020 State of the Union address.
Isn't that unbelievable? I mean, and this is an honors student. This was an honors thesis by the university. And they put this out there, and the student actually put a deep dive, you know, did a deep dive into a comparison of Mein Kampf to Trump's 2020 State of the Union. That's where we are. How scary is that? How grotesque is that? This has to stop.
Well, the thing is, you keep telling people that democracy is the threat and this guy is Hitler and here's the comparison, academics and idiots and uneducated people feel the same way. You think it's soon it's going to be your patriotic duty to go take another shot at this president. That's what's really risky. Now, look, I don't think President Trump should be talking about Kamala Harris as a fascist, but you can actually say that her father was a socialist. And, you know, he was a professor in college, and you wonder if they have the same philosophies. That could come up in an interview. But I just don't think that benefits anyone. But what they've done now is they've regularized it. Governor Walz not backing off those comments. And then the comparison at the Garden, where you live in New York City, where they've had Billy Joel, the Rangers, and Knicks, and some of the great Ollie Frazier, some of the greatest moments in American sports and entertainment history. Trump comes in there, has a big show, and they're saying the only thing it compares to is a pro-Hitler show, a pro-Nazi event that happened in 1939. Your thoughts?
So there were thousands of Jews at that peaceful, truly peaceful rally. Thousands of Jews. The Israeli flag flew peacefully. Jews were singing Jewish songs gleefully. And let me ask you a question. When is the last time you have seen a Democratic rally have an Israeli flag peacefully fly without some violence or harassment of Jews just for doing that? So it's like, you know, so many people say nowadays, it's always what they accuse you of, what is really what they're doing.
So I want you to hear some of the outrageous behavior that's been over the airways. Cut 9.
This is what voters know right now, that he is killing us. I'm talking about us women. He's killing us. He is putting us at risk. He is making us afraid to have babies. He is putting our reproductive health at risk. And some women have died already because of this. So we can see right now what's coming.
Because with women's reproductive health care and freedoms hanging in the balance next Tuesday, the stakes literally are life and death for every woman in America. It's not hyperbole. It's not an exaggeration. It's what happens next week.
And if you think he's kidding, He's not.
He's not. He doesn't care if you live or die, babe. He doesn't care.
That's correct.
If we don't get this election right, your wife, your daughter, your mother, we as women will become collateral damage to your rage.
Your reaction to some of this?
It's not hyperbole. You know, Biden starred in that nonsense. He always says it's not hyperbole. And then they go out and call – it's not hyperbole to call someone Hitler. Hitler? Has Trump ever said he wants to kill a Jew? Has he ever done anything to compare to what a true fascist would actually do? The names that they compare him to – and listen – Fox put up a graphic yesterday, which I was so grateful for, where they showed that this has been going back to even before Nixon, where the Democrats have been calling Republicans fascists since, I think, Barry Goldwater, I think it was. Goes back. So you're talking about
including Paul
decades.
Ryan, Harry,
yeah.
Ronald Reagan, Paul Ryan, Barry Goldwater, as you mentioned. Richard Nixon have all been compared to Hitler and called socialists.
And what's absolutely unbelievable, the thing that really stands out to me, Brian, is that, you know, when Fox calls out someone saying something stupid, and the best example is today with Biden and the garbage comment. You guys did such a great job today on Fox and Friends. But did you ever notice that these left-leaning networks, and I think I'm being kind by putting it that way. You ever notice they don't show the videos? Like when they talk about the Charlottesville thing, I've never seen MSNBC show the video of what Trump actually said. Now, why do they do that? Because Trump literally said the opposite of not neo-Nazis being fine people. He literally said the opposite. We all know that. It's all been debunked. They never show video. They give their opinion, which is totally a lie. They make it up, and then they say it's not hyperbole. Trump literally said, neo-Nazis.
So how bad is it on campus right now? You're teaching at Kingsborough, but people listening around the country know about Columbia. They know about NYU. We're not seeing those protests like they were. Why not?
Well, they understand, first of all, there's an election going on. On my campus in particular right now, the union is trying to revive all this hate, but we're in the middle of a big contract controversy. So they're basically strategizing in a quiet way. And so this is all going to come out again. This is far from over. And, you know, a lot of stuff is kind of on hold until after the election, because what's going on in the Middle East right now is a big part of it. You know, there may be a temporary ceasefire. You guys have been reporting a lot about that on Fox lately. And I think what's going on, it sounds like to me from various sources, and I'm not obviously a Middle East expert, that's not my area, but what we're hearing from a lot of people is they're going to have a very temporary ceasefire, but it's going to be after the election is over. And I think the top people who really strategize this anti-Israel, anti-Semitic stuff, I think they're waiting until after the election. I think you're going to see this go back to horrifying right after the election.
I agree, because not one Republican is for it, and no Democrat can explain it, and many go into the sit-ins and the riots, like all the squad, and support it. So, 100%. and then condemn people when they stand up for themselves, like what happened at UCLA. Jeff Lax, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Pick up his column, Hitler Murdered My Family, comparing him to Trump is a despicable lie. Where do we get that editorial?
The New York Post.
Go get him. Jeff Lax, thank you. When we come back, we'll be able to get some calls as well as find out if there's a need to know more.
Diving deep into today's top stories, it's Brian Kilmeade. More to know. Sponsored by Prevagen. Prevagen is the most recommended memory support brand by pharmacists.
Right by Torres. Butts in the corner. Does he have room? Fights with the fan. And they're going to say that it's an out and fan interference.
And just like that, you had Mookie Betts have a ball taken out of his glove by a Yankee fan. And that affected the game because they would throw the fan out of the game and it would be considered an out. Now, I've never seen anything quite like it. And I was actually sitting about 20 rows away. He disappeared in the corner and they weren't showing the replay. And I'm thinking to myself, where the hell is the replay on this? And a lot of it was because it was somewhat disturbing. And the guy behind me showed it to me. I've never seen a fan do that. But it does show you the intensity of the game. And the fans came to play. They were waiting to inspire the Yankees. And sure enough, Freddie Freeman takes the air out of the stadium by hitting a two-run homer in the first. And that moment might have helped spur the Yankees. Volpe hits a grand slam, and they go on to win. They survive to play tonight. Did you guys watch that at all?
The problem with that thing with the fan is the fan has a right to the ball if it's over the fence. So
you
they
can't take it out of his
in
glove.
The act of trying to catch the ball,
yeah.
You're not allowed to try to rip the guy's glove. I mean, he could have hurt Mookie Betts.
I know, imagine
he broke
that.
His wrist, sprained it. You can't do that. Those guys should be not only kicked out but banned for life.
Right. Possibly, yeah. But I also don't love the fan leaning over at Dodger Stadium and taking what I thought was going to be a home run and turning it into a double because he wanted to use his mitt and took the ball off the wall. I thought it was going over the wall. We'll never know. But the Yankee player got a double, and he did not score.
Shades of Jeffrey Mayer going back to 96.
Let's find out if there's more to know, too. In Super Bowl, let's talk football. Super Bowl winning quarterback Tony Dungy spoke at a news conference with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. And he encouraged Floridians to vote against an amendment that would legalize abortion to the ninth month.
I happen to believe that these babies in the womb are lives. And I know everybody doesn't believe that, but I happen to believe it. My Bible tells me that they are. My wife, Lauren, and I have 8 adopted children in our home right now. And when I go home every day and I look at those kids, I don't see 8 choices. I'm sorry. Those are 8 lives. Yes, we need to protect our women. Yes, we need to protect our mothers. But we need to protect those children as well.
You rarely hear that point of view. And he's adopted even more than that. Some he fosters and some he goes through. Sadly, his son, who was on the sidelines a lot with the Tampa Bay Bucks, did commit suicide. And since that time, they've adopted child after child. And he's a really good broadcaster, too, one of the most respected people in sports. Next, Dolphin Star's wife is sending a warning about Vice President Harris, saying a vote for Harris is a vote for war. Devon Mostert, the wife of Miami Dolphins star running back Raheem Mostert warned that those who support her will go get us into war. Here's the quote. An attack on America is going to happen. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. But it's also a matter of time, and a draft will happen. The side that doesn't even acknowledge our fallen military service members, the Biden administration, let's not forget Kamala is currently the VP. The withdrawal from Afghanistan was horrific, killed 13. There's not one member of the United States military who's in active duty in a combat zone, in any war zone. Remember, she said that during the debate. That is a lie. A vote for Kamala is a vote for war. That's pretty abrupt, and I wish I could point out anything that's inaccurate. Next, aerospace giant Boeing is reportedly exploring the sale of some portions of its space business. Isn't that great? You're an astronaut stuck in space because the spacecraft wasn't safe to bring you back home, and then you find out your company's selling off their space business? That's fantastic. They're looking to sell it for $1.8 billion in private cost. It has $1.8 billion in private cost overruns. It's the Starliner program, has developmental delays, no kidding. Boeing cannot compete with Elon Musk's SpaceX, no doubt about it. And we'll see what Boeing can do. The first thing they got to do is get their people back to work. Next, tequila may be the healthiest alcoholic drink. If you have to drink, get tequila. It's because of the agave plant. It's low in sugar and carbs and naturally gluten-free. That means Kennedy could drink it. The agave's unique composition may help tequila impact blood sugar levels less severely. Studies suggest that agave's non-digestible compounds can possibly affect digestion. That doesn't make any sense. Pure tequila made from 100% blue agave also contains few of those congeners that many other distiller spirits have. So if you have to drink, make it tequila. I'm sure a tequila company sponsored that study. And get this. Trump Media and Technology Group, which operates the social media app Truth Social, now trumps the estimated value of Elon Musk's X to Twitter. Yes, Trump Media is worth $10 billion, Twitter $9.4 billion. You know why? Because they think he's going to win. If he loses, this thing is going to tank. And no offense to Trump, I think he knows that too. But if he does, he'll use it, and the president of the United States will get a ton of followers. But he's also on other apps. I just hope that Trump stops with TikTok. That's what I think. Next, grilled cheese or chicken. A new poll reveals that America's favorite sandwich is either grilled cheese or chicken. It was commissioned by Badig in honor of Nation Sandwich Day on November 3rd. 58% of respondents say the sandwich pragmatists care more about making a sandwich quickly than making it just right, as long as they have the most of the sandwich that they need. 42% say their sandwich chefs like to take their time crafting a sandwich. To me, speed matters. Americans eat on average 6 sandwiches per week and takes people roughly 10 minutes to assemble the perfect sub. So we'll look into that and try to find out that. Other things, other big stories we're done with more to know is that Kamala Harris has spoken out and said this about Joe Biden calling Trump supporters garbage.
Listen. First of all, he clarified his comments, but let me be clear. I strongly disagree with any criticism of people based on who they vote for.
It's a disastrous statement. Disastrous. We'll follow that story, and it's knocked out the dumb comments from the comedian at the MSG event. It's going to be an interesting sprint, 6 days and counting. Brian Kilmeade show. If you want to get any of my books, you want to get them signed, just go to briankilmeade.com. It comes to my email. I sign and send.
Listen to the all-new Brett Baer podcast featuring Common Ground, in-depth talks with lawmakers from opposite sides of the aisle, along with all your Brett Baer favorites like his all-star panel and much more. Available now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.